Okay, so this message is called Crossed Out. Crossed Out. When I was a boy, eons ago, even after when the earth was cooling and vegetation was springing forth, and I was a boy, at school, I would get crossings out at primary school. I say that because at secondary school I never got anything wrong, so it was at primary school. But you used to get crossings out on your work. You know that, don't you? You remember that. I don't think they do it quite the same these days. I think it has to be done in particular colours, and it has to sort of infer that even though they're wrong, they were right, because we don't want to diminish their sense of self-worth. But the great thing about the cross of Jesus Christ is it puts a huge cross against things in our life that are wrong and closes the book on them. It closes the book on them. You see, Jesus has dealt with sin and death and hell and so many issues, and it's the cross of Jesus that is laid against them that says, no more, this is the end. And so I've just got a few thoughts today we're going to look at. So my first slide today is foolishness versus power. Every slide today lifts a particular scripture out about the cross, and we'll talk about the cross today. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But for us who are being saved, this is God's power. I hear things all the time. People say things to my face. People say things behind my back. But I hear things on social media. I hear all types of things. But one thing I heard this week was this little boy who said he thought Jesus was awful because he never ever did any of the things that the Bible says he did. And I thought to myself, where does a little boy get that from? He gets it from an evangelical atheist parent, doesn't he? He gets it from someone who has told him this, when the truth is, the Bible is a historical document. There are other historical documents other than the Bible which reinforce the fact that Jesus did what he said he did, particularly his healings. You can read the historical writings of Josephus, for example, which will tell you that a man called Jesus from Nazareth performed miraculous healings. And the reality is that if you decide the cross is worthless to you, it's foolishness. If you decide that the cross of Jesus has no real effect in your life, it's foolishness. And you would be foolish to put your faith and trust in an event that happened 2,000 years ago if it didn't really happen. Or if it was just a con trick. But you see, this is the enormous difference between not knowing if you believe and knowing that you believe. It's because when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, when you believe in the power of the cross, that is when you know and experience God's power. And you could say to me, but it's just a load of foolishness. But I'm going to say to you, no, it's the power of God. And the difference between you and me is that I know that it's the power of God because I've experienced it. It isn't just a matter of random faith. It isn't just a matter of blind faith. It's a matter of I know that I know that I know that I know because I have experienced the power of the cross in my life. Jesus met me when I was, before I was 9 years old, I was still 8 years old, and he marked against my life a huge cross. And that cross wasn't a cross that condemned me. It condemned the sin in my life. It condemned everything in my life that was imperfect and that wasn't right and that wasn't great. And it released me from it all, and it released me from foolishness to power. And the power of God in my life sustains me to this day. That means next month, I will have been a Christian for 50 years. I wasn't born a Christian. No one's born a Christian. You have to choose to be a Christian. And 50 years ago next month, I chose to follow Jesus. For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. We're not denying that. It's foolishness. Because if you aren't making it work in your life, it's a pile of rubbish. But for those who are being saved, it is God's power. And the fact is, if you choose to join us, if you choose to believe as we do, you too will experience the power of God, and you too will know that it isn't foolish. Next slide. Hostility versus peace. Talking about Jesus, Ephesians 2 says, he did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put the hostility to death by it. When Christ came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Hostility versus peace. It's inherent that there would be some hostility between man and God. Between mankind that had chosen not to follow God's ways, had chosen to do our own thing. It's inherent in the whole scenario that there is some hostility because man ignores God, man pays no attention to God and so is hostile to God, and God, who only wants man to be at peace with him, or is hostile to man's sin. And yet, once again in this scripture, Ephesians 2, 16 to 17, we are told that God has put the cross against this hostility in our life, telling the hostility that it's wrong, and making us understand that there is peace for all who will turn to Jesus. And it's all through the cross. How can you torture and kill a man wickedly and evilly and it result in peace for you? I can tell you how. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And it tells you there that Christ suffered for our sin. Jesus bore hostility in his own body so that we might share in his peace. I am so glad that God has crossed out hostility in regards to me. I am so glad that there is no more any hostility. When Mary was reading, I just was taken up by this concept that we are now slaves to righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It is right standing with God. Righteousness is not a statement of moral perfection. Righteousness is rather a relational term. And we are slaves to being on good terms with God. I like that. I really do. I am so glad that God has made me a slave to being on good terms with him. I can't escape that now because God has set me free from the power of sin and hostility and death and has made me his son in Christ. He has made you his sons and his daughters in Christ. We are adopted into the family. We are at peace with God. Peace has broken out. I was thinking the other day, 11th of the 11th at 11 a.m., This coming November, it'll be 100 years, won't it? Since the end of the Great War. And I hope we're having a big national celebration, because we ought to be having one. But the truth is, peace broke out at the 11th of the 11th, 1918, at 11 a.m. Peace broke out. And what a change. After a war that had decimated societies all over the world, millions of young lives had been sacrificed in the trenches, thank you, in the trenches of Europe. And God has said to us in our lives, I'm crossing out death and hell and hostility, and I'm declaring peace. You and I now, we're at peace forever. And that is great news. That means we can talk to God whenever we want, and we can have a real relationship with Him. Thank God, peace has broken out because of the cross. Thank you. It says in Colossians 2, verse 14 to 15, Jesus erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. I like that. That sounds great, doesn't it? He triumphed over them by him. God has taken the cross and put it against my personal debt. You see, I was in debt because of my sin. I'm not particularly talking about financial debt here, although I don't think we should ignore it. But I'm talking about the debt I could not pay to God. The truth was, there was nothing I could do to sort out my relationship with God. There wasn't anything. There was nothing I could do to put it right. There was no way I could make peace with God, because the debt that I was in was so astronomically high, I couldn't even think of paying it. But Jesus took that certificate of debt and nailed it to the cross. And that means my debt to God is paid eternally through the blood of Jesus. As Jesus hung there dying, he was paying my debt. He was paying your debt. To know that God has cancelled our debt on the cross is a huge step forward. Because it doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how sometimes the devil whispers in your ear saying, you've been a bad boy. You've been a bad girl. It doesn't matter how sometimes the devil tries to remind you of your sin. Because the fact is, God has taken a huge cross and crossed it against your sin and said, that's dealt with now. Jesus sets you free from the power and debt of sin. And that is not only good, it's fantastic, it's great. And not only did he do that, he disarmed the rulers and authorities, that's the devil and his demons, and he disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. You know what a Roman triumph was, don't you? Roman triumph was a procession. The Romans would take their enemies where they'd just been out and conquered somewhere, and they would lead their enemies through the town, and there'd be great rejoicing, and their enemies would be stripped from the waist down. That is so you could have a laugh at them. And it particularly uses that language here in Colossians, because it wants us to understand that God has disgraced the enemy. The devil, he has been disgraced because the cross has been laid against him. And he has no power because the cross has overcome him. And the fact is, when you've seen the devil naked from the waist down, he doesn't scare you anymore. You have to have a giggle. And you know, it's important to us that this cross has been placed against our debt, because no more will it be laid at our feet. No more will God ever say, you owe me. Because Jesus has paid that debt. The fact is, God is pleased to share with us all he has, his righteousness, his blessing, his love. Next slide. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 6, verses 8 and 11. Death versus life. It talks in Hebrews about Jesus came to set free all of those who have been held in the bondage to the fear of death. The truth is, there are people who live all their lives literally in fear of death. My mother was one. She continually was terrified. Every morning when she woke up, she was terrified that she would die that day. But even if you don't have that morbid fear that my mother had, the fact is, there comes a point in our lives when death is inevitable. And in reality, we recognize the fear of death. We try to make death as palatable as we can. We make it palatable for those that are not party to it by doing it in a corner secretly. We whisk people away when they're going to die. We put them in places called hospices, which, and I'm not knocking hospices, I think hospices are great, but they are away from the public. We don't see it happening. And we want death to be a private thing, partly for the dignity of the person who's dying, but partly because we don't want to know. And the reality is that death is something we try not to focus on because we don't want to think about it happening to us. Jesus, though, he said, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be as well. And Jesus did die. The immortal dies, Wesley writes, Charles Wesley, in his hymn. 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. How can the immortal die? Well, think about it, it's not possible. And yet Jesus did. Because Jesus was, of course, very, very equipped at doing the impossible. And he put his cross against death so that we might be invited to share his life. If death has died, there is no option but life. And Jesus wants us to take his option today and live with him. I had a near-death experience in July. And the truth is, I don't really think that at any point it bothered me. Not from the point of view of, oh, I'm dying. Pain was a bit uncomfortable at times. And after they'd put the stent in, all the wires everywhere were uncomfortable. And the fact that for 24 hours they wouldn't allow me out of the bed to go and have a wee, and I had to do everything in a bottle. It's not really wonderful, but you know, the reality is, it wasn't death. And I did not sense something awful happening. And that's because death is not something that is an awful thought. It's actually just closing one book and opening another. It's moving from one place to another. It's like moving house. You know, no one wants to leave a house that you've lived in for years that you love. But if you've got a fantastic new house with better heating, you want to move. And the reality is that's what heaven is like. It's not just got better heating. It's about a place which is a good place. And the cross has been put against death in our lives so that we might start a fresh life with God, which is continuous. Yes, we experience physical death, but spiritually our lives go on. We do not dissipate into nothingness. We do not cease to exist. Rather, we carry on living. And I thank God that we carry on living. I'm quite glad I didn't die last July. But if I'm honest with you, that's more for my wife and family's sake. The reality is, it wasn't a bad experience. And God has been good to me. And I recognise that God will continue to be good to me. I will not die but live and declare the goodness of the Lord. We should consider ourselves dead to sin. And this is what Paul tells us about dealing with sin in our lives. Do we still sin? Yes, we do. Paul says, I do. But we should consider ourselves dead to sin because that's what we are. Because now we live in God. We are alive in Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. It is. I have the life of Christ. There is something about me that is Christ living in me. And I will continue to live, thank God, because of that. So, consider yourselves dead to sin. Don't think for one minute that you have to do that which is wrong. You don't. You have to go on living for Christ. And so together we will do that which is right because there is a cross against death in our lives. The next slide is sin versus love. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some people say to me, how do you know you've been good enough to go to heaven when you die? The answer is, I haven't. But Jesus has been, and that's who gets me in. You know, we don't get to heaven because we're good. Whoever told you that? Why did we think that was the case? The reality is that we get into heaven because there is someone who has gone ahead of us who is waiting to open the door and let us in. Sin is what would have kept us out. And sin is a word which is becoming meaningless in the sense that people don't use it anymore, people don't understand it really. But it simply means rebellion against God. It means doing things that build a wall between us and God. And what God's done is he has shown his love to us whilst we were still sinners by putting a cross against our sin. How amazing and how wonderful that God would do such a thing. And how fantastic it is that God would bless us by dealing with sin, by loving us first. How important it is that God loved us. You know, it isn't just a mechanical thing, that the shedding of blood, punishment of a body. This is all about love. People often say, and I know it's a bit corny, but it wasn't the nails that held Jesus there. It was his love for us. And however corny it sounds, it's true. It was the love of Jesus that held him on the cross for us. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We inherit from God in Jesus, because Jesus died, and he died because he loved us. How powerful, how wonderful that Christ died for us because he loved us. You know, I think it's barely comprehensible for a man to consider the love of God. But we have to do because we are faced with it. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because he loves us. Why did God raise him from the dead? Because sin couldn't hold him down. And God loves his son. And we get to see what resurrection looks like in Jesus because the love of God gives it to us as well. And so we get to be raised in Christ. Which is, of course, why we baptize people. Because baptism is laying people to rest in the grave of water and raising them up to new life in Christ. And we are baptized because that is a statement of our experience in our lives, knowing that the cross of Jesus has been put against our sin. And the driving force is the love of God. Don't ever forget the love of God, because it is just the last word. And in fact, the last word is God's last message. You know, you might say, I could never be a Christian. I could never memorize the Ten Commandments. I could never read the book of Leviticus. I could never read 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, particularly not those multiple chapters that just a list of names. Do you know what? That isn't what makes a Christian. What makes a Christian is realizing that the cross has been put against everything wrong in our lives and set us free from all of them, brings us to real new life in Jesus. Many of us these days text each other, or email, or WhatsApp, or instant message. Lots of stuff we do these days that we never used to do. But it's amazing how people chuck an X in at the end, end their message with a cross. I find myself doing it all the time. And I sometimes think, is that an appropriate kiss? And I always think, maybe I shouldn't. I was sending a message the other day to someone of the opposite gender, and it was business. It wasn't somebody, it wasn't church, it was business within candlelighters. And I put an X on the end, and I thought, hang on, is that appropriate? And so I deleted it. But, you know, God is not limited in his use of kisses. The cross has been put against our lives so many times. His message to us, the end of his message is always a cross. The thing that God wants to leave us with always is the cross. He wants us to remember the cross. Just as we would put a kiss at the end, Jesus is putting the cross at the end of his message. God is putting the cross at the end of his message. It is the final word. It's the final message. The truth is, God loves us. The truth is, God cares about you so much, he sent Jesus to die. This is miraculous. It's freedom giving. It's a breakthrough. This is powerful. This is absolutely the best news on earth. That God has taken our lives and put a cross against it all. And when we look, we realize it's just a kiss from God. It's a mark of his love. Because God indeed loves us. You might feel nobody loves you. You might feel you're not deserving of love. Well, hard luck, God loves you. If you aren't prepared to accept it this morning, change your mind. Because God loves you so much, he gave Jesus, that you might have all this other stuff dealt with, the sin, the debt, the pain, the suffering, the terrible things in life, God wants to put a cross against them all. And finally, just to remind you of his love. Today, I just want us all to receive God's love. You know, he hasn't put a cross against our lives as a form of politeness. And he hasn't sat there thinking whether or not it was appropriate in your case. He's just sent a kiss. But what he does is use it to cancel our sin and to bring us into relationship with him. And I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the greatest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Would you bow your heads with me? This morning, I just want to say simply this. Have you allowed God to kiss you? Have you allowed God to put the cross against all these things in your life? Do you still dig up the past when God has put a cross against it? You know, if you've never ever got that relationship thing right with God, then why don't you do that today? You might say, well, it seems a bit foolish. Makes me feel foolish. Well, until you've experienced that relationship for yourself, it will be. But when you experience it, it's the power of God. And that power of God will work in your life, in your body, in your family, and it will bring freshness and life and relationship with God. Today, if you need to do that, then I just encourage you, just where you're sat, just simply raise a hand, put it down again. I will pray for you. Thank you. Father, today we pray for each and every person who raised their hand, whether they're here, whether they're in different parts of the world listening on the internet. We just pray in Jesus' name that you would put a cross against all the stuff in their lives right now, and that they might experience your love for the first time, dying to sin and living in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that they might know you as Father, as Lord, as indwelling Spirit, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.